Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. Very excited about having an original member of our Brain Trust back on the show. Don Boudreaux has been with us now since 98. In the 98. And a longtime Brain Trust member. And Don has educated us so much over the years about how the economy works, how trade works, the value of trade. You've heard me quote Bastiat many times on the show. I do it every week as, at the drop of a hat. I look forward to opportunities to quote Bastiat. Well, Don introduced me to Bastiat. He is currently the chairman of the economics department at George Mason University. Many of you have seen his byline in a number of publications, including the Wall Street Journal, and his new book is called Globalization. He's our good friend, Don Boudreaux. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim. Then I realized I started in 98 with you. That means I was in high school.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. Me too. I was just out of college, exactly.
Right. Yeah. By the way, I'm no longer chairman. I was chairman for 8 years. I'm just simply professor of economics now.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Someone else has that headache.
Ah, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
Well, good. I'm glad, and you did it well for 8 years, but thanks for the update on that. Don, one of the things that I'd like for you to talk to us about a little bit is your perspective on what's going on in the global economy. You know, years ago when you and I talked about the global economy, our primary focus was on opportunity and getting people to understand that trade is good, as Bastiat said, when goods cross borders, armies don't, all that sort of thing. But today, globalization is not so much about opportunity as it seems to be about trying to work ourselves out of problems associated with debt. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the debt's a real problem, although I think the debt has very little to do. I don't think it has anything to do with trade. It has everything to do with government irresponsibility.
Yeah.
Government irresponsibility in Europe and here at home. You know, the everyone who pays attention to the news now knows what's going on in Europe. They're in really bad shape. For many decades of an overgenerous welfare state is finally coming home to be and asking to be paid. And that's what's happening in Europe. And that's where America will soon be if we don't mend our ways immediately.
You know, Don, for the last 10 or 15 years or so, a number of my friends, Americans, who have always, so many of my friends have thrown Europe up to me, and me being, you know, a fiscal conservative and a free trader, and they've talked about, why don't we try to be more like Europe? They're so happy over there. They're, you know, all this, you know, the way they treat their employees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I always said, well, that's fine, but at some point in time, that bill's going to come due, and how are they going to pay for that bill? And
yep.
they didn't understand what I was saying. And in those days, though, it looked like they were winning the argument, because when you and I would travel to Europe, we saw a lot of happy people. But today, as you said, as my grandmother would have said, the chickens have come home to roost. Those bills are due now, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, Europe has been eating its seed corn for quite a long time. And now that the seed corn is being eaten up, you know, there's no more harvest.
Right.
And using another metaphor. And that's what's happening. And it's only getting worse because, you know, so it started with Greece most recently.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the other European governments have said, okay, we have to bail Greece out, I think what this does, this puts yet greater future tax burdens on Europe's workers, and there are dwindlingly fewer of
right.
them every year. And it promotes more irresponsibility. If you're a government like Greece and you think, well, heck, you know, if we get in trouble, I don't have to worry. You know, we'll have a few protests in the street, but the people from Brussels will come throw some more money on us. only creating more irresponsibility, more debt for the, you know, the Europeans who are productive.
And the things you're talking about, Don, are not things that we think will happen. These are what you just said has already happened.
That's right.
I mean, as Greece was getting bailed out, the people were rioting in the streets because they didn't want to take any cuts, even though they didn't have the money to pay for it.
I learned, it sounds like something out of a comic magazine, but apparently it's true. Greek pensioners received 14 monthly pension checks.
Yeah.
Annually.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
unbelievable. Hold on that thought. I got to take a quick break, folks. Don Boudreau is our guest. Professor of Economics, former chairman of the Economics Department at George Mason University, the author of Globalization, our good friend, almost 22. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
Little Van Morrison, perhaps his best song ever, Moondance. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Glad to be with you. Glad you're with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. Lots of good stuff there. Help you with your small business, I believe. And it's been around since 1997. Not in its current form, but that's when it originated. We keep updating it, and of course, we update it every day. There's something new there every day, several new things on the site every day. So check it out. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Don Boudreau is professor of economics at George Mason University, longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Globalization. And we're talking about this mirror that Americans are looking into. And the mirror is showing us, Don, it's showing us Europe, but it's actually us in a few years. That's what we were talking about a little bit earlier on. Recently, I saw a statistic that showed that two scary statistics, Don. One was that more than half of Americans are currently getting their income from a government entity, and less than half are getting it from private enterprise. That's one statistic that's frightening. And another statistic that's frightening is that almost 50% of Americans pay no taxes, no income taxes. Now, those two facts in combination, in my opinion, create a dangerous tipping point for America. What do you think?
I think that's exactly right. The statistics are the bottom 50% of taxpayers pay 4% of Uncle Sam's income tax revenue. And by the way, that doesn't include Social Security contributions and contributions to Medicare and Medicaid. But in terms of income tax, the only 4% paid by the bottom 50% of taxpayers.
Yeah,
which is frightening.
So, the issue is, this is where America is becoming like Greece. When more people depend on government payroll, more and fewer people pay taxes. That makes people easier to be manipulated by politicians, doesn't it?
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, in fact, it already shows they have been manipulated by politicians. They're starting to believe in the free lunch, that, you know, government waves a magic wand and wealth comes falling out of the sky. They don't see that there are risk takers and entrepreneurs and hard workers producing all these things that they're consuming from their standpoint for free, but they're not free. Someone's got to produce them.
And small business owners get that. They understand that in America.
Because they work.
Exactly.
They get up every morning and go to work.
Well, and you know, other people go to work, but we live by our wits, as a friend of mine said. A professor friend of mine says, my friend Jim Blasingame, he's a small business owner. He lives by his wits, and that's what we do. But how do we tip this point? How do we get this tipping point? How do we return from that tipping point and wind up with a good result?
Well, the answer is actually quite simple. Politically implementing is very difficult. The answer, you've got to drastically cut back spending, and I think, contrary to popular wisdom, I think we have to dramatically cut marginal tax rates even further. Because when you cut tax rates, you inspire more risk-taking, more business creation, more work effort.
And it creates more revenue, doesn't it?
You know, it does, but I would say even if it doesn't, the important thing is to strengthen the private economy. It was only from the private economy that government gets revenue. And so even if cutting taxes today leads to a reduction in tax revenues today and next year, I think the important thing is to get the economy on a long-term growth path, and that can only be done with tax cuts.
We've
got to cut spending dramatically.
One of the things that's always been ironic to me is that why wouldn't a politician, with all the evidence in that in America, cutting taxes creates more growth, more opportunity, and therefore creates more tax revenue for politicians to spend, why would they not be slashing taxes so they could have more money to spend if that's truly their drug? But I think the answer to that is their drug is not money. Their drug is control.
Their drug is control, and they like to have power.
And they can control us more if they control the purse strings more. And the more they cut our taxes, the more liberty we have.
The more liberty you have, and the less say they have, and the fewer the goodies they
right.
have available to give to special interest groups. I mean,
right.
that's really what they do. Politicians are brokers, by and large. They're brokers for special interest groups. They transfer wealth and resources from taxpayers to lobbyists in all different sorts of industries and labor unions. And that's what
right.
they do. That's
yeah.
sad.
Talk to us a little bit more about some of the things that you think we need to do. You were talking about politics earlier. What do you think about the Tea Party folks?
By and large, and I'm surprised to hear myself say this, by and large, I'm optimistic about them. I mean, there is no Tea Party organization, and so
right.
anyone can call themselves a Tea Partier, and I certainly don't buy everything that every person who calls him or herself a Tea Partier says. But I think, it reflects this healthy, long-standing American tradition of suspicion of overly powerful government. And I went to a Tea Party rally on April 15th in Washington. And the thing that pleased me, what I saw, the banner that was carried most were, by ordinary men and women, was the old American, colonial American banner. They had the snake and said, "Don't tread on me."
Right.
And, they weren't saying, give me more goodies. I didn't see any evidence of racism. I just saw, look, government.
And Don, I've got to go to a break here. The thing is, to me, is the politicians, they're members of the political class who are putting these folks down. And to me, that should tell you, and that tells me, in my opinion, that these people are onto something.
I think that's exactly right.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. 10-till, right back after these messages. Don Boudreaux is our guest. His book is called Globalization. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need
fun. Welcome back. It's 7-till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with us. Don Boudreaux is our guest, our good friend. He's a professor of economics at George Mason University. His book is called Globalization. It's outstanding, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to learn about free trade and the applications of it, the proper applications of it, you need to find it in this book. Don, how do we find the book, and how do we find you?
Oh, well, you can find me on my blog, Cafe Hayek. That's www.cafehayek.com. And the book, Globalization, it's available on Amazon. Barnes and Noble's website.
Right.
So
check it out, folks.
I've heard people make great Christmas gifts.
Buy two, you're going to want to give one away. Hey, Don, I rarely single out President Obama for anything, but about 3 months ago, I started trying to encourage him on my show to do something that Lincoln asked us to do 150 years ago, and that was he tried to appeal to the nature of our better angels. That was almost an exact quote from one of his inaugural speeches, I think the second one, appealing to the nature of our better angels. And I said, I thought that that's something that President Obama should start doing more of. Instead of acting like some of the things he's done sounded more like Jimmy Carter than Abraham Lincoln. And then he came out with this about a month ago in a speech. I think you may have heard it. I think it was in Cleveland. He said, I believe in the free enterprise system and in capitalism, but at some point in time, you've made enough money.
Mm-hmm.
As a small business owner, as somebody out here living by my wits, Don, that offended me. And that frightened me that a president of the United States would say, at some point in time, you made enough money. Talk to me about that.
Well, it should offend you. I mean, I would like to say a much more truthful thing is at some point in time, you have enough power. And, you know, what's enough money? In my view, if Bill Gates wants to make another $1 billion and he has to work really hard to do it, if he's not stealing that money from anyone else, he's going to get it by producing a product that people want to buy. More power to him.
And by the way, I just found out yesterday that his foundation is donating $200 million to Rotary International if they'll match that. And that's what I'm a Rotarian. We're in the process of doing that.
Good luck.
So my point is that money came from a guy who didn't feel the way that Obama felt.
Yeah, that's right. And he earned it. And every penny that he made, it represented production.
Jobs and employment and well-being for other people.
That's right. Every penny President Obama now spends in his capacity as president is taken from taxpayers, and that means less productive activity in the economy. So I find it an offensive statement as well.
If we had a President Boudreau right now, what would you be doing?
Well, first of all, I'd abdicate. because
we would not accept your resignation. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you're asking what I think, you know, a decent president should do, someone like maybe if Paul Ryan gets elected to the White House, for example, again, dramatically cut marginal tax rates. I would get rid of the corporate income tax. I would not move, by the way, to a consumption tax, if only because, let me say this. I'm afraid that a consumption tax will not replace an income tax.
It has to replace it, though. I mean, that's the only way to do it, right?
That's the only way to do it, right.
Which would require repealing the 16th Amendment, which is probably not going to happen.
That's exactly right. I would streamline government regulations. And I would talk to the extent that I have, the president has a public podium. I would talk to people about the need to be responsible. It's not the government's place to take care of the citizens. The government doesn't owe anyone anything except what the Declaration of Independence and Constitution say. This institution exists to protect your rights. And then it's up to you, Mr. and Mrs. Individual American, to go out and make your life for yourself and your family. And only then can you really be proud. Who can be proud if they're getting something given to them?
And isn't that behavior, that activity of giving us all this stuff, isn't that stripping our self-respect?
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, suppose, you know, if someone gave me $1 million a year, I'd be rich. But how could I respect myself?
Right.
Just getting the money, right?
Yeah.
But if I go out and earn $50,000, I'm happier.
Are you?
I earn the money.
In the 30 seconds, Don, I've got left. What do you think about the future of the economy for the next year or two?
Oh, it's going to be really rocky for the next year or two. Really rocky.
Still.
I'm only an optimist, as you know. I think it's going to be really rocky because I just don't see... If the Republicans really have a surprising takeover of Congress, it'd be a little bit better.
Yeah. Hey, Don, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure, Jim.
Don Boudreau, ladies and gentlemen, professor of economics at George Mason University and the author of Globalization. It's a book I highly recommend to you. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.